Well, God bless and greetings to you on this wonderful Sunday night of June the 27th, 1982. We're still living victoriously. And of course, tonight we're living victoriously the victorious word worldwide. I was tremendously blessed this morning with the presentation of the international people and our countries that are present here with us, a lot of them. And when Reverend Bo Reard informed us in his beautiful way that we have 106 today, 163 independent nations around the world, and that here at Living Victoriously, 32 of those are represented, plus three territories. And that we have 70 countries around the world where we have Power for Abundant Living grads, and 44 countries where we have active ministry work. It blessed my heart very, very much. Well, you know, there's a time for all what? But there's one thing for all time, and that is the word worldwide. Living victoriously is victorious living. It's abundant living. It's radiant living. It is living the word with the living Christ people within. And that, by God's mercy, his grace, his peace, his love, and his power. And with all of these, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace, God's love, and God's power, there will be a victorious word in all the nations of the world worldwide. And this because Christ lives within us, and tonight, dead in David, because he lives.
God gave his son, whom he called Jesus, who came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, but God raised my Savior again to live. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know, yes, we know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives within our hearts. There's a calm assurance. He's healed our lives in every way. He's seated now with God our Father, but lives within us this very day. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know, yes, we know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives.
Thank you, Ted and David. Wonderful. Thank you, David. All of our men and women who have taught at Living Victoriously have just been terrific. All the day sessions, the evening sessions, and I've been so thankful to God for the word that lives within these men and women and the great accuracy with which it is presented and with the great enthusiasm, great love, the charisma and everything else that's involved. I thought this afternoon Craig was just fantastic and blessed my heart. Sometimes I have a little problem to figure out how he gets an ironing board down to Egypt for the rear end of an elephant or something. But he seems to transport things at different times, different places. But he made a statement among many others this afternoon that were statements that were really fantastic and true. Just one-liners had whole weeks of work in it. But he made this statement, if I recall correctly, about people ODing. And he said that you can't OD on the truth or the word. And I thought that was tremendous. You see, we have to rise up to the level of the word and believing the word and carrying the word to the world. For it will take, whenever you do that, it'll take the L out of the world. And there's a lot of that stuff in the world. A lot of hell, I mean, you know, and takes the L out of the world. When you take the word, you just end up having the word with the L out of the world. And so Acts 1:8 says, But ye, absolute tense, and these are the last words that Jesus Christ spoke while he was with his people, part of them at least. Ye shall receive, Acts 1:8. And the word receive is the word lambano. The word shall puts it in the absolute tense. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But you shall absolutely, lambano, manifest, dunamis is the word power. After or when, not after, the text should read when. Because every born again believer should immediately after they're born again manifest the dunamis. And you and I know that the manifestation is speaking in tongues. For the speaking in tongues is the external manifestation of the internal reality and presence of God in Christ in you, the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what you got at the moment you're born again, right? You have the dunamis. It's the potential. It's that latent spiritual power. It becomes kinetic when you exercise it. When you exercise it. That is why every born-again believer, after they have received the dunamis, when they received it, at the time of the receiving, and I've seen hundreds of people do this through these years, that they had never been born again, but they were taught ahead of time, and they were told about speaking in tongues and how it operates. And then when they were born again, immediately they spoke in tongues. When that dipneumahagion, the Holy Spirit, the gift is come upon you. And then it says, you shall be what? Witnesses. Witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem where it occurred, then throughout Judea, then going out further to Samaria, and then where? Under the uttermost parts of the earth, and that's New Knoxville. Perhaps it's the place where you live. But there it is, witnesses all over the world. And that's what I mean when I think in terms of the word over the world. Now tonight I'm going to try to do something for you that I don't think again has ever been done for people at any time. And to help you to get a great understanding of this whole subject of evangelism and reaching of the word around the world. I'm going to give you five names tonight. These are Greek words. I'm going to have them put on the video so that you can all write them down. because I'm going to challenge you when you get back home to think through some of these and work them in your heart and life, because these are the five words that you'll see appearing in the Word of God time and time again. And people, all you need to do to check whether these words are where they are in the text is by the Young's Analytical Concordance or Strong's, or Bollinger has them. They're in there, and all you need to do is check them. But there are five words. I think it was Reverend Finnegan last week that gave us the first word that I want to share tonight, and that's the word caruso. And this word, as you will see on your screen, your monitor over there, is spelled K-E-R-U-S-S-O. In the Greek, it has a long E. The first E is a long E, and the last O has a umlaut over the top of it. It's a long O. Can't do that on these expensive screens. We can't do it, but I can do it with my 25-cent pen, you know. Put a long O over it. Now, you were fully instructed, those of you who were here this past week, on this word caruso, because Vince did such an admirable presentation of it. But I want to just give it to you in a nutshell, where when I tie all of this together tonight, that you perhaps can have the greatest understanding it's possible for my heart to share with you from the integrity and accuracy of the word. He told you, Vince told you, that a caruso was a herald for a king, for instance. The king makes a declaration, the caruso blows his big horn, and then he says, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye." And then he just proclaims what the king has said. And that is a very beautiful definition of it. He just heralds it. So whenever you read that or see that word caruso, you won't see that word caruso until you look in your concordance, because sometimes the word preaching is caruso. Sometimes it's one of these other words that I'm going to give you. So you check them out. Then you understand. A caruso is just heralding it, telling it like it is, but there's no teaching implied. A caruso does not do any teaching. He just tells it like it is, like the king declared it. So there is no teaching implied, people, in this word caruso. A second word that I want you to note tonight is the word Mathetuo. It's spelled on your screen, M-A-T-H-E, and that's a long E. Put a line over the top of it, T-E-O, long O at the end, Mathetuo. That word, class, means to disciple someone, to make a follower out of someone. And that word simply means someone who just likes to be with you. And in this particular word, I see the charisma of a leader, of a witnesser, someone that's out witnessing to people. If people don't like you, if they don't turn on to you, I'm talking about you, about me, if they don't like our personalities, if they just don't like us, they're not going to do what? Follow. They're not going to follow. This word means those who like to follow you. They like to be with you because, you know, if you never taught them anything, they just like your presence. They enjoy your fellowship. They just enjoy being with you. That is this word, mathetuo, to a disciple, a follower who just wants to follow because basically they like what they hear what they like, and they just like to be there. The third word that's used in the word, and you talk about this second word, it just flipped in my mind. You see, evidently there's some people just like to be communists. Somebody else likes to be a socialist. Somebody just likes to be a follower of Roman Catholicism. Somebody else likes to follow the way ministry. That's this word, that second one. Thirdly, is this word, which is spelled E-U-A-N-G-E-L-I-Z, long O. The last O is a long O. Euangelizo. And that word is one of the words from which we get our English word evangelism. Comes from this word. And it means to teach well. It means to teach well. But it also has in it the meaning that you don't teach everything you know. Whatever you teach, you do what with kids? You teach it well. Now you see, this to me is real easy, real sensible. Because there's never a time when a teacher, like myself tonight, or Craig, or any of these men, that in one session you can teach what? Everything. But what you do, that word means, that's on that screen or was, that word means that whatever you teach how? Well. But that, there it is, E-U-A-N-G-E-L-I-Z, long O. You teach it well, but you do not necessarily teach everything regarding it. Now you begin to see a difference here? Very important, because this comes up in the Word later on when I get into the Word and show you these words in the Word. Now this fourth word that you have to understand to rightly divide the word regarding the victorious word worldwide is the word that is on your screen now, and it's spelled K-A-T-A. It's the pronoun prefix kata, angelo, A-N-G-E-L-L, long O. Kata angelo. Now that again has in it the word evangelism, but it has evangelism meaning to the end of teaching something thoroughly. Thoroughly. And I was thinking about our class on Ephesians. Very few people could stand the class of Ephesians the first week after they're born again. To the end, we handled it this year in the Way Corps, or as we handled, was it 2 years ago or a year ago? A year ago. I taught it twice. The first year I taught it, I took the Corps as far as I felt they could go. This year, I felt there were very few holes barred, and holds, H-O-L-D, still a lot of something else, maybe H-O-L-E in the core, I don't know. But I felt they could stand it, take it, so the research department and I just pulled all the stops out, and we taught them everything. I just taught them everything that I could possibly work in the book of Ephesians. And that is this wonderful word, kata angelo, meaning to teach thoroughly, thoroughly, taking people into the inner depths of the word to give them that fantastic foundation and understanding. And then there's a fifth word, people. And this one is sort of neat. It's the word diangelo, and it's spelled D-I-A-N-G-E-L-L-O. This word means to disciple thoroughly to the end that you reach out all over the world. That's the word. Diangelo is to evangelize, to speak the word all over the world and people. That is W-O-W in that word. That's something. It's been in the word all these centuries. Not too many people have seen it, but it's been there, and I've known this stuff for years. And that's why you've got a WOW program. It's why we got so many other things. Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God, and the Word of God is the will of God. And God says, move out across the world with it. So once God says, jump, you don't ask how high, you just do what? When he says word over the world, you just begin to do what? Move, move, move. That's right. That's that wonderful word, diangelo, meaning to disciple. Oh, boy. Look, you're gone wild, a lot of you. Man, leave your sour pusses at home. Right. Leave all those worries, anxiety, frustration, and all the screwed up mess you've been into. Leave it home. And when you go out on that field, you be God's man or God's woman. There's a scripture you ought to remember and apply, forgetting the things that are what? And pressing on toward the upward calling. Because God doesn't look on what you were 20 years ago or 10 or 5. If you're going to evangelize, it's also included in that word. You've got to put your best foot forward. You can't expect to win people, to disciple them, if they don't like you. So the first day you meet someone, you say, well, go to hell, you little son of a so-and-so. They're not going to come to your twiggy twig, girl. You got to use the greatest God-given ability you have. You got to lay your soul out for people. You have to love people. You have to put your best foot forward. You don't go out and look like a slob or something. You know. Ah, shoot, it's real sinful, some of the stuff I think almost. The natural man, the first time he sees some of you beautiful women, and he thinks what he sees has to be eros instead of agapeo, he'll say, boy, how am I going to get that girl in bed with me? Yeah. And the first time they see some of you wonderful men who are men of God, the women will say, oh, boy. Sure like to crawl under the sheets with that guy. That's what goes through the fella's mind. Well, you can't blame him. Shoot, any man seeing our beautiful women or vice versa, they've got something the world's never had before, never seen. Of course, they look at it sense knowledge-wise and they think eros. Most of them never even get to phileo and never been at agapeo, that's for sure, because they got to get born again. Huh? But you know, there's nothing wrong with having the curves at the right places. Just use them at the right places. That's so okay. Oh. Oh, shoot. You know, no man's going to respond to a woman when she... nor is any woman going to respond to the witnessing of a fella. You're born to win. God so loved. And the Word of God says, this treasure is in an earthen what? Baby, make that vessel shine. Put on some rouge or do something or lipstick. And you men, you know, keep yourself sharp. You know, it's a lot bigger than Gillette, I guarantee you. Man, we are Sharpies for God. How's that? We are men and women for God. And so you put your best foot forward. You use the greatest personality you have, the greatest charisma. And you let people see the Christ in you again with the beauty of the greatness of that love of God. Boy, people, that's that word. It's a wonderful word. And that's how you get the word over the world. In Matthew chapter 28. Hey, you didn't think it was in the book. It is. Last chapter of Matthew. Verse 19. Jesus said earlier, you're going to receive, remember, in Lambano, Pneumahagion. And here in verse 19, Jesus said, go ye, therefore. Go ye. If you really believe God's word, you're going to get the green sign. You're going to go. If you really had the cure, you really knew the cure for an incurable disease, so-called, and you really knew it, and somebody had that type of sickness, would you tell it? Sure you would. Well, boy, when you really get turned on for God and the things of God and the Word of God and realize it's just its fantastic greatness, you just got to talk about it. You can't help but talk about it because you're so full of it, you just know everybody needs it, so you talk about it. That means you go. 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 Why sit here until we die? If you're going to die, you'll go to the cemetery. So which way you want to go? Stand up living or want to go feet first to the cemetery or something? So you might as well give your utmost for His highest. Walk with the greatness and power of God. Move in your community. Go, go, go. And teach. Go and teach. Yeah, teach. That is this second word I gave you. Go and teach. I think that's the second word. Is that the second word, Walter Cummins? Or is this that other Greek word that I haven't given him? Where are you, Walter? This is my brains. Come a running. Here, here. Good. Is that word teach? This word,
mathetuo, right?
That is the word.
Right.
Now, there's another Greek word that's used when it talks about master.
Right.
A master teacher that really has no bearing on what I'm sharing with them tonight. But you tell them what the master is. I think it's...
Okay. It ties into this word,
right,
mathetuo, in that a disciple is one that follows the teacher. Mm-hmm. And that other word is didaskalos. And the verb form, didasko, is used in this next verse, verse 20. That's that word for teaching.
Yeah.
And the teacher, didaskalos, is the one that teaches the mathetes, or... Right. Mathetuo, of course, is the verb form. So they tie together like that.
Yeah, in college and stuff, we talk about didactics. This is teaching, isn't it?
Right.
Have courses in that where it's teaching. Mm-hmm. You see how these words tie together. But That word didasco, you spell it for him. D-I, go on.
D-I-D-A-S-K-O.
Yeah.
With a long mark over the O.
I could have put that on here too tonight, just never thought about it in time. But I'm glad you're here to help me out.
Okay.
Thanks, Walter.
Sure.
Okay. Now it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's everywhere. Then come these words. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Scratch them all. That's a Trinitarian forgery. A deliberate forgery that crept into the text years and years after the original was given. And I would say sometime after 340 A.D. was the first time that this was added in the text. Because this section, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, Eusebius, the church historian, quoted the 19th and 20th verse. He quoted it 18 times, and not once did he quote those words. So therefore, in whatever text he was reading, those words were not in it. And he died in 340 A.D. So by 340 A.D., those forgeries had not yet appeared in the text that Eusebius, the historian, quoted from. Earlier than that, lived a man by the name of Justin Martyr. He died in 165 A.D. And he quoted this 19th and 20th verse, and he never quoted that section either. And it's real interesting that had this been in the original text just before Jesus Christ left and ascended, telling them to go into all the world, preach the gospel and so forth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, then why did they never carry it out? It was the last, one of the last things he said. Why didn't they carry it out? In the records in the New Testament, there is no record that they ever carried it out. If you look at Acts chapter 2, keep your finger in Matthew, I'm coming back. Acts 2:38. On the day of the original outpouring, Peter said in verse 38, repent and be what? Every one of you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of... No. He had never heard anything like that. He said, baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, right? It's the first day of Pentecost. Look at Acts 8. First century church, Acts 8, verse 16. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them. For as yet, that Holy Spirit, it was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. No, again, baptized what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at chapter 10. Boy, this stuff's just simple as ABC, but it's dynamite, because all truth is dynamite. 10:48. Look at this. And he commanded them to be baptized. Baptized in the name of what? The Lord. See, again, not that Trinity doctrine of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It wasn't there in the early church. You can document it right from the scriptures you have left today. You don't need any of the historians, but it's there. Chapter 19 of Acts has another one. Acts 19, verse 5. When they heard this, they were what? Baptized. They were baptized in the name of what? Right, in the name of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't that they were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. They were baptized in the name of what? Now go back to Matthew. And this is how it should read, and it does. Go ye therefore and teach all what? Nations. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of what? The world. You go, therefore, and teach all nations. That's the word worldwide, people. Teaching them to observe, to take special care, to watch, to keep in proper order all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then Jesus said, lo, I am with you. Always. He's always there. He's always there. You have to just have to learn to rely upon His presence in you. God in Christ in you. He is always there. Even unto the end of the ages is the text. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that tremendous chapter that deals so beautifully in the tail end of it with the great return of Christ. I am thankful to God that in this chapter are set all of these great truths about heralding the word, evangelizing it, and teaching it to the full are all in here. I want to begin with verse 1 very carefully now. Moreover, brethren, I declare, and the word declare is to make known unto you the gospel. And the word gospel is good news, glad tidings. Now you can have good news regarding a lot of things, right? You know, good news regarding hamburgers. Good news regarding something else. This is good news regarding the mystery that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs and of the same body with Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the glad tidings. That's the good news which I preached unto you, the gospel which I preached. And that word preached is this word evangelize. He taught them, but he didn't teach them everything he knew. Just taught them. It is to evangelize to the end of getting them into it. Preached unto you, which King James says also ye have received. The word also should come behind the word received. In Greek, the word also precedes the word it emphasizes. In English, it comes after the word it emphasizes. And this text reads, which I preached unto you, which ye have received also, and wherein you do what? Stand. We have a piece of work in the bookstore that's been there for quite a number of years. It's the biblical study of the usage of the word also in the Gospels and New Testament. And this was originally done by E.W. Bullinger. I reworked sections of it and put it together in this wonderful little edition. And it's just entitled Also. And what I have done in my Bible, I've taken every usage of the word also and put it where it belongs in my Bible. Then I didn't have to work so hard after I went through all this. You don't have to work hard at all. You can just take a couple hours off and cost you a dollar, break you up. Cost me a lot more than that just in time if you pay me 30 cents every year. But you see, it's very important where the word also comes. It's a matter of rightly dividing the word at times, people. Well, I just wanted to tell you that because I see it here in this great first verse. And it's in this evangelization that he made known wherein we stand. Wherein you stand. The reason you're able to stand with men and women who love the Lord Jesus Christ is because you were evangelized and you stand with them. Verse 2. By which is through which you are saved also. The word also comes at following the word saved. That's what it emphasizes. By the which you, Corinthians, are saved also. Saved also. The word saved is the word so-so. It's spelled S long O Z X Y Z long O. So-so. And this word so-so means to be made whole. W-H-O-L-E. It means to be made whole, mentally, physically, spiritually, in every other way. It is the word of God, people, which is the will of God. And I said to you the other night, I'm believing that sometime in my lifetime, yet I'll see the greatness of some of this stuff, that when men and women are born again of God's Spirit, they not only will immediately speak in tongues, but if there's anything physically wrong with them, they'll be totally healed just like that. That's the word so-so. To be made whole. Mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, and in every other way. That's that word, people. This is what Jesus Christ came to make available, but we all got talked out of it. And it's so darn hard at times, you know, to build yourself up where you get over all that negative stuff you were taught. The best chance I see is in our children. And then I see already our grandchildren on top of it from the beginning. Because they do not need to be raised with all that devilish wrong teaching. They can be raised with the love and the truth of the greatness of God's word. But here it is. By which ye are saved also, made whole. If you keep in memory, just sort of screwed up. It's when he says, if ye keep in memory, what it simply means, just remember it. Just remember what I preached unto you. You know, you don't get unsaved if you forgot it tomorrow morning, right? We know that from other scripture, right? So therefore, this word has to be properly divided. Saved also. Just hold it in memory. Don't forget what I preached. What I preached. I forgot now whether that word preached is caruso or if this is the word evangelize. Should have brought my concordance up here. What is it, Walter? What is that word, Walter? Is that the word evangelize here in verse 2? I should have brought a Greek text up here.
Same as the one in verse 1.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Now you see why he's my aide. I ought to be his, but he'd flunked if I was his. Just saved, also remember that, and because of what I preached unto you, you know, that word evangelize that I gave you, unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Unless is except, E-X-E-P-T. Believed in vain would be believed unto no purpose. You see, if you don't remember what you're saved from and for, if you don't keep that in your memory, if you don't keep the mystery in there, then your believing is to no purpose. You know why? Because you're going to sit home, you ain't going to witness to anybody. When you go to the factory or the shop, they'll never know you're Christian. You can work with them for 20 years, know nothing. It is to no purpose. That's the word in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, among the first things that I shared with you, which I received also, there's your word also again, which I received also, verse, latter part, how that Christ died for our, what? Sins, according to the scriptures. And verse 4, that he was buried and that he rose again. The text reads, and that he has been raised again, or that he was raised again the third day. Isn't that neat? He was raised on what day? The third day, which you and I know as Saturday, before sunset, because sunset in Jewish Judean reckoning started the next day. But the first day of the week, when he appeared to Mary Magdalene and on the road to Emmaus to those two, it was the fourth day. He was raised the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, go to verse 9. For, Paul says, I am the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the apostles. Not fit to be called an apostle. Not fit to be called an apostle. Because I persecuted the church a lot. I think all of us feel the same way. I'm not the man I'd like to be or know to be. Paul said this here. He's not fit to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church, and you know what he did to the church from the book of Acts. But verse 10, by the grace of what? I am what I am. Man, what a breath of fresh air that is to your soul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, God's grace, was bestowed upon me, not in vain. Text reads, did not prove to be empty. The grace of God that he bestowed upon Paul did not prove to be empty because Paul held forth the word of God. He spoke the word. He was a wow. 4, verse 10, I labored more abundantly. I labored more abundantly. That means he stayed on the job. He witnessed. He went out there. Labored more abundantly than they all. They all who? All of those other men that he had been in the seminary with under Gamaliel in Jerusalem, top leaders in Judaism. Paul was one of those, belonged to the Sanhedrin, but he got born again on the road to Damascus. And from that time on, his life was changed. And when he got to be a Christian, a believer, he labored more. He worked more, he spoke more than he ever did when he was among the other side of the fence, on the other side. Labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. I had to have the what? The grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. So we preached. And that word preached is that first word, caduso. So we preached. And that's where it all starts. You just go into a community and you just tell it like it is. You just herald it forth. No teaching implied. He just went in and he just carousoed. And when he carousoed, it says, and so ye what? Believed. They liked what he said. They enjoyed him. They enjoyed his personality. They followed him. They enjoyed his charisma, maybe because something they felt he had inside. And because of that, they started to believe. Now, verse 12. If Christ be carousoed, preach carousoed, that he rose from among the dead, how, say some of you, there is no resurrection of the dead? And by the time of the life of Apostle Paul here, when he wrote to the Corinthians in Corinth, people had already come forth and said, look, he really didn't rise from the dead. Same stuff you hear today, right? Well, verse 13, the Word of God says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? The Aramaic text literally reads, not even Christ has been raised. Then is Christ not risen? No resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. Verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, has not been raised, then is our carousoing, preaching, carouso, the heralding forth to no purpose. And your believing is to no purpose also, vain also. Verse 15, moreover, we are found what? False witnesses. Witnesses. Jesus Christ had said, you shall be witnesses unto me. Look at how this all ties together with Matthew 28 that I shared with you. And here it is in 15. If Christ did not rise, then we're found false witnesses, witnesses of God. You caruso the word, and you're a witness for God because we testified against God. Of God is against God. We are testifying against God when we say there's no resurrection, testifying against God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the rest of the dead do not rise, that the rest of the dead will not come forth someday. I'm sure it was a fantastic time in your life when you learned from the Word of God for the first time that the dead are dead until the return of Christ. that it must have been for you like it was for me, rather disconcerting, because I too had been taught that whenever somebody dies, he goes someplace up there where they flit around or do something. But you see, when I used to pray and think of that stuff, then my mother was a wonderful woman. I'd ask her, you know, help me. She never did. But I happened to know my mother. And I knew if my mother was up there with God, sitting on his right hand, or at least close enough so she could talk to him occasionally, or to Jesus Christ, that my mother would be blessed to help me. But she couldn't, because she's not alive. My mother is dead, waiting for the return of Christ. And boy, this is just tremendous here, people. If the dead rise not, then is Christ not what? Now, you and I know that Christ has been raised, because you and I do the one thing which cannot be counterfeited. We speak in what? That's the proof of the resurrection, of the Christ in you, the hope of glory, people. For if Christ be not raised, then your believing is to no purpose, and you would be dead yet in your what? Sins. That's why this day, people, in the Word all over the world, you have the greatness in Matthew and over here in Corinthians and many other places in the Word, where it tells us so plainly that we just herald forth the Word. We just witness to it. Whether a man believes it or not is secondary. The witnessing is primary. It is my responsibility to witness. I can't make a man believe, but I can sure put my best foot forward, help him to the best of my ability, so that he has the greatest possibility of believing. But every man has to believe for himself. He has the freedom of will to either accept or reject the truth of the greatness of God's Word. And so it's the Word worldwide that will set men and women free. And you belong to that wonderful household of God, people. God so loved us that he allowed us even to be together for these couple of weeks to work his Word. And what a tremendous truth that is. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Father, for allowing us to live tonight. Thank you for the greatness of your Word, your love, and your great truth. And may the Word reach around the world in the wonderful name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lonesome road, my Lord spoke unto me, Lord, and he hung a heavy load. One day I was walking down that lonesome road. I do thank God that I'm in his care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in his care.
Oh, oh,
in my Savior's care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in his care. I'm in his care. Around me, no evil in the world can harm me, cause I do thank God that I'm in his care.
Well, old Daniel, he was a good man.
Lord, and he prayed
three times a day. The angels opened up the windows
only just to
hear what Daniel had to say. Daniel, he was a good man.
Lord, and he prayed
three times a day. Daniel knew that he was in his care. In his care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in his care.
Oh, oh,
in my Savior's care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in his care. I'm in his care. My Lord, put his arms around me. No evil in the world can harm me, cause I do thank God that I'm in his care. I'm in his care. My Lord, put his arms around me. No evil
in the world can harm me, 'cause I do thank God that I'm in His care. I'm in His care. I am in His care. In my Savior's care.
Now let me tell you,
I am in His care. I'm in His care. My Lord, put His arms around me, no evil in the world can harm me, 'cause I do thank God that I'm in His care. I'm in His care.
Man in the sunset years of life was traveling a lone highway, and he came at eventide, which was cold and gray, to a chasm vast, deep, and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The aged man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fears for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a younger man near, you're wasting strength by building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you the bridge at your eventide? The builder lifted his graying head. Young man, in the path I've come, he said, there followeth after me some day a youth whose feet must also pass this way. This chasm that has been crossed by me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Young man, I'm building the bridge for him.
Yesterday morning we had our great WOW Ambassador Showcase. And during that time, Trudy Baines and Tony Kojak, playing the piano as Trudy sang, did a great number on WOW about sitting on the fence. And it so blessed all of us that Dr. World wanted you to have the opportunity to hear it again tonight. So ladies and gentlemen, here's Trudy and Tony.
on the fence with no reason why. Now I've just got to decide. I've got to believe what the word says to me. I want to discover what I can be. I've got nothing to lose, so I'm spreading the news that I'm ready to give it. Excitement is burning inside my soul. I'm putting myself on the line. A year of my life, I'm going wild. The Christ in me will shine. What a great way to grow. Wonder where I will go, who I'll meet. The fence, and now I know why. Nothing can change my mind. I've gotta believe what the word says to me. I wanna discover what I can be. I've got nothing to lose, so I'm spreading the news that I'm ready to give it a try. Yes, I'm gonna get off and fly. Thank you.
Trudy, great.
I was living in a world of sin, and I didn't know where to begin to find the peace and have the joy that I always wanted within. I was groping for the road ahead as I searched for a light in the night. But now I'm gonna shout, hey mister, Jesus came to give me life. I'm gonna tell my mother what the Lord has done for me. And I'm gonna say to my brother, can't you see how he's made me free? I'm gonna ask my sister, did you know he'll see you through? And then I'm gonna shout, hey mister, he can do the same for you. Jesus came that you could have the life that you've always wanted and more. He died on a tree on Calvary so you could live forevermore. He ascended into heaven above, but the Comforter has come. And now I'm going to shout, hey mister, Christ is the only one. I'm gonna tell my mother what the Lord has done for me. And I'm gonna say to my brother, can't you see how he's made me free? I'm gonna ask my sister, did you know he'll see you through? And then I'm gonna shout, hey mister, has called me by name that I should not be ashamed. I'm able to see because he did it for me. Every day of my life, I'm gonna tell the world. I'm gonna tell my mother what the Lord has done for me. And I'm gonna say to my brother, can't you see how he's made me free? I'm gonna ask my sister, did you know he'll see you through? And then I'm gonna shout, hey mister, he can do the same for you. 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 I'm gonna tell the world.
He can do the same for you.
Since my brother, Lord, he can do the same. he got to the same.